Hello, hello, and welcome to another walking session podcast. Maz Miller here. A disclaimer that I don't do disclaimers. While I'm a psychologist, this is not therapy. You know the drill. Take what resonates with you, throw the rest out, grab your shoes, grab your headphones. Let's walk it out. Alrighty. Feeling a bit rebellious today. Feeling a bit outspoken today. In a healthy manner, of course, always, right? Don't want to hurt anyone. That exact sentence is why today we want to talk about being okay with being the bad one. Okay, so you might be here for the same reason as me. You might just be feeling a little bit rebellious. You might be feeling like you've just had enough of some shit. You might also be a few days away from your period. There's also that, if you know, you know. And you just, you know, your tolerance threshold has been lowered. Speaking of which, have you noticed how in life, just through life, you look around, there's different things that you can have more versus less tolerance for, depending on so many things. Yes, your hormonal cycle, but also how tired you are, how much you've been giving, how often you've asked for a need to be heard, whether that's the first time where you say it nicely or the seventh time where you scream it. Also, I keep saying the hormonal thing. I have a rule. I was just actually telling someone about this rule. Few days, whatever it is for you, do your own math, few days before that time of the month, there's a significant change in me. And if you're around me, you'll notice it. But my rule for myself has become that during that time, as per last episode, I reflect and I journal. I write it all down. Ow, this is pissing me off. This is what I want to change. This is what I want to say. I do all that. But I don't take any action. This is the key. I don't take any action. I don't say it. I don't message it. I don't post it. I don't email it. I don't podcast record it. No, I'm not in that period right now. This is from a calm as place. I just feel rebellious because I just do. That's just who I am. So what happens is that then when the system has calmed down, 5 days later, that's a time, a week later, whatever it is for you. I don't want to give you specifics. We're all different, ladies. That's when you sit down and take action, because from that place, you are much more likely to be heard. Let's just say that way. It's not like you're more level-headed, like you're just so emotional then. It's not. That time, I feel like, was to really show you things as they are and piss you off as much as they need to. And then when you get to the other side, it's no longer about being pissed off. The next stage is about being heard and how that change can be approached in the best way, how everyone can win out of the situation, if that makes sense. But yeah, the topic today is just coming from a place of, this is going to be so minimal. Like if you're a mum that's been the quote unquote good girl and that's been told what a good girl looks like. And for a lot of us, and this could be purely cultural, it's a lot of self-sacrifice for me personally, maybe not for you. It's a lot of putting other people's needs first. It's a lot of we're a team, we, but then there's no me. So you kind of raise that way to please, to smooth things over, to be the nice one, that type of thing. And maybe it's just no longer working. Like maybe you've tried that, and for some of you that worked, good on you, congratulations. But I feel like for some people, it all comes to a head and you just go, I'm just sick of this shit and I'm done. I'm happy to be the bad one in the eyes of others. I'm happy to be perceived that way because I only know what's important to me, what's important to me in my life, what's important to me right now. And I don't care how minimal it seems to someone else, because I guess on the flip side also, especially, what's the word? It's like two takes on this, right? the people in our life that love us, like your immediate friends and family and partner, children, I feel like they're going to be more understanding of all this because they love you. But with them, you might actually be holding back even more because you don't want to hurt them more than, I don't know, the stranger on the road that flips you off because you're trying to keep your child safe. I mean, that's such a random example, but I remember one time when Noah was a baby, she used to cry in the car like she could not sit for more than 5 minutes. And I looked in the back and her face was like, I thought she was choking or something, and I was in the middle of traffic slowing down to, like, hazards on to have a good look at her, and the guy behind me was swearing. And I'm sure if he saw my face in that rearview mirror, I would have looked like Mama Bear, like, get, you know. But that's a stranger, like, that might be easier than kind of being the quote-unquote bad guy to the people close to you, because also you bloody live with them, so you got to deal with that all the time. But if you're someone, and maybe you've been attracted to this because you are a little bit of a people pleaser in your own right, it is amazing when you start to untangle this work how small it is. It is sometimes literally like I had thoughts where, let's say I said to my husband, I'm going to be home at 3 and it's 12 to 3 because I make sure I'm home early because, you know, I do the right thing. I'm the people pleaser. And then I'm like, oh, I need 15 minutes to do something. And it's not like he's got to run out the door. That's a whole different thing. If he's got to run out the door, that's fine. But like to take that extra 3 minutes for myself felt so overwhelming that I would just leave that thing that I was going to do in 15, that phone call, that whatever. It just would get postponed and postponed and postponed. Whether it's a walk, workout, whether it's a walk, whether it's a sauna session, whether it's a facial, whether that is, I'm trying to think of all the things for myself that I've postponed. Sometimes even journaling, not often, but I'm pretty good at that because I can do it at night. See, even as I'm saying, I can do it at night where it doesn't impact anyone. Isn't that shit? Whether it is like just prioritizing things, saying, I don't want to do this anymore. Sometimes also in a relationship, especially if you've been in one, whatever that is, whether it's a working relationship, a business relationship, a friendship, whatever the relationship, put your own relationship there. I think the hardest thing is when you've done things for a long time. Like I'll give you a little example. I pretty much have always been the sleep person for my girls, 8 and 4. And that was fine in the early days because they're babies, they needed me. They refused to have my husband help Noah and Lacey. And what would happen is that they always preferred me to put me to bed, and that was fine when there was one. And then when they would wake up during the night, they would literally just scream until I go to them, and that just happened. And then Lacey came, and then we kind of tagged it a bit more. I feel like almost Noah could understand it a bit better, that there was another person, that it wasn't just her, and that was a whole nother bloody mum guild growing pain situation. And then just the other night it dawned on me that Lacey's nearly the same age that Noah was when Lacey was born, and I was like, gosh, I've been in this rut of putting her to bed every night, going to her every night, because over and over we've tried to do it other ways, but we probably haven't tried for the last, I don't know, 6 or 12 months or something. You just kind of go, try that, didn't work, try that. Like, it's just, you know, if you're a mum, if you're in the days of it, it's just what you do. And then it dawned on me and I was like, no, just no. And I explained it to her and we negotiated. I said to her that once the older one's in bed with me and she's asleep, I'll come back and snuggle her. So that's been the thing. Now, every night she says, so we take turns. Every second night she says, all right, mum, but when Noah's asleep, you come snuggle with me. And I go, yep, no worries. And then that's how that happens. And it's all fine. But for so long, because we have tried it before, I held all this heaviness in my heart and this guilt of her crying, and I don't want her to be upset and dead. And then you feel upset about the other one because she really misses you putting her to bed and having those evening chats and that connection as well. So that was a, you know, sometimes you got to try. So all that to say, sometimes you might try to establish those changes or boundaries or chats more than once, because that was a more than once effort that we've had to put in with Lacey. And, you know, in your own relationship, say maybe you're somebody who you may not have cared about going for a walk before, but now you want to. And a good thing to do is, I don't know how you'll function, but we are very scheduled. scheduled in the sense that we know who needs to be where, when, and whose responsibility is. So I got the schedule out and I said to hubby, right, I want to get to the gym. I haven't been to the gym. You've probably heard me say there's no time for the gym. And then I sat with that and I was like, but I want to go to the gym. And then I had to find a gym that's got a creche, because in the schedule we realize that there's this little child that needs to be around at all times, even if it's just 40 minutes that I need her mind, you know, somebody watching her, etc. So we went through the whole thing, like, this is how we need to do it. This is what it needs to look like. Where's the time? Let's find the time. This is why you can see why I have put myself second. But the whole conversation was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable the whole time. All I wanted to say is, just don't worry about it. I'll start exercising more when they're at school. I'll start doing more when they're at school, when they're both there. And then I was like, nope, I'm just going to be the bad guy. That was the attitude I went in with. I'm just going to be the bad guy. Everyone here can label me the bad guy. I need this. I've been so frustrated with this. I've been trying it every bloody other way. This is what I need. And nobody called me the bad guy, of course. And we came to a resolution. It was freaking awesome. So you may have never done this before. Welcome. Like I said, you might need to start really small, like, ooh, what do I feel like eating for dinner? This is also a thing for me. I say that, and I've always said that, but a big thing that's happened in our household is one picky eater, secondary picky eater, copying the first picky eater, and I just notice myself gradually, like, creating really bland meals that I don't enjoy, going from them being exposed to everything to, you know, the same bland stuff, and look, there's room for that, but then I was like, no. Nah, I'm cooking shit I like, okay? That's what I'm doing from now on. I'm cooking. My job's to cook. Anyone else that would like to take over, you're really very welcome, very welcome. But that's how we divide the labor in this household. I cook most of the time. Hubby will start helping out a bit soon. That was also another negotiation. And if they don't like it, they can not like it. I'll be the bad guy. I'll be the bad cook. That's cool. Like, mum, you're the worst. You know I hate this. This is what's said to me, even if it's something they've never tried. They try it. The emotion, the words are real. This is where it all comes from, right? But I'm okay. I'm okay with being the bad guy. And let's have like a reality check of this. In someone else's story, you will sometimes be the bad one. I have no doubt that my kids will eventually get out of this and grow up and go, thank God you didn't just serve as the plain shit. Like, thank you for persevering, whatever. For the time being, they're probably whinging to their mates at school and saying, my mum only cooks yucky food. Because I hear that, oh, so-and-so is so lucky. They get this and this. And I'm like, mm-hmm. But also, like, on a bigger scale, we can't control how people perceive us. Like, you can only sit with your values and your intention and what you're hoping to get out there. If you can kind of backtrack that, like, I always sit there and I'm like, all right, like, for example, when I did this podcast episode, what's the purpose? What am I hoping people get out of it? What are some things I want to talk about? Like, I put thought into this. I don't just go, oh yeah, I'm just going to chat about, I don't know, whatever, right? So your intention, I think, is more important than how others perceive you, if that makes sense. And it doesn't make you a bad person. Like, it means that maybe you've set a boundary. Maybe you can't meet their expectations, and the reality of that hurts them, you, whoever. It will end up being you if you keep trying at the end of the day. Or maybe you've just made a choice where you're like, I just can't. You know, I have done it this way. I'm absolutely miserable. I will come across a lot of women in practice, and they would get to the point, and I can relate. I've been at these points multiple times myself where they're like, they're ready to throw it all in. They haven't even spoken about what their needs are because they're not in tune with them, but they're ready to. The thought of walking away from it all seems like such a relief compared to the untangling that they have to do within themselves. Of course, sometimes that's very granted because the relationship has run its course for so many reasons. But often it might be just something, a little bit of a mirror on ourselves where we have to go, what's going on here? Like, how did I allow this to happen? How did this take place? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? Who do I want to be next year, the year after, 5 years from now? And all of that kind of stuff, right? See, lots of journaling prompts there for you. But yeah, sometimes you just make peace with being the bad one and being the one that has to say it, being the one that has to call it, because you know that on the other side of that, things are going to end up bad anyway. So you think, well, it's probably worth a shot. It's probably worth me really sitting with. And I know for me, for example, I've come to a moment of that before and then I've gone, right, now I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put my health and myself first and I'm going to, and then I've sat there and gone, I don't even know how or what that looks like. I don't know what I like anymore. Some things I know. I've always kept things like, you know, easy stuff. My dog, being in nature, going for a walk. There's like things that have kept me tracking and going along, but more like it came to a season where I was looking around and I was like, this is not good for me anymore. That has done its job for that season. Now my soul needs more. And I guess I just want you to feel okay about it. Like, you can't control what people are going to do with that. Like I said, you can control your values. You can control your intention. You can really communicate in the way where whoever you're speaking to, whether it's a family member or whoever, where they understand what is going on with you. And yeah, like, sometimes disappointing people does. That's the price you might have to pay to get some room for yourself and some growth for yourself. And that's okay. Like, do it respectfully. And that's okay. Growth is uncomfortable, just so you know, for everyone. Like, for you, it's uncomfortable for the people around you because they've never seen you this way. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to backtrack. You're going to get tired. You're going to say, don't worry about the gym. And you just, it's not all thrown away. You just got to try again and start again and get the schedule out again if you need to. Okay, well, this bit didn't work and Mondays are great, but that Wednesday, like, that we need to shift that, right? So it's okay. Don't feel like you're locked in into some lifelong contract just because you agreed to something one way and it no longer works. The reality is that especially if you're trying this on for the first time, you don't know what you're doing. I remember my first way to make room for myself was justified through, it's got to be work or exercise. But they're the things that there's only room for. And then one day I was like, actually, I just want to sit there and stare at a wall. Actually, I just want to go get ice cream by myself. Actually, I want to take myself out for dinner, not for go out for dinner for a birthday. Like, actually, I don't need a freaking occasion. Actually, I need some kind of alone time every day so I don't go psycho at everyone. So actually, all of this is actually okay. And if you've been around for a long time, you maybe have heard me say, if you can't get those things that I've just listed and they're below the bare minimum, let me just tell you, then you don't have a life. Do you have a life, or you're living someone else's life? Are you going to be the person that gets the end of this and go, where was I in all of this? Where's my, wait, what? I can't, I'm probably reflecting on this. I'm like, where did this rebellion, this bad guy thing come from? Not long ago, a couple of weeks ago now, it was Father's Day. And I had a whole chat with my husband about how for Father's Day, it's like such a common thing to see dads go play golf, like away from the family. But then the mums are like, oh, I'm so grateful for breakfast with my family. And it's like, even when you read the cards for Mother's Day and Father's Day, like, they're very different. Mother's Day is about, thank you for all the sacrifice and all the things you do for us. And Father's Day is, thank you for being my hero and having so much fun with me, Dad. And obviously there's, you know, caveat, whatever. Nothing's 100%. You know. I'm not here to fight about the cards. I'm just here about the message in our society. And we both agreed that maybe, like, for us, maybe not for you, what works is like a mixture, like the kind of Father's Day, Mother's Day, where we spend the morning together because we love that. Like, you love having your kids there in the morning and having the breakfast made and the little cards and the beautiful things they make for you. It's so lovely. And then maybe heading out on your own, whether that's for golf or brunch with the girls, whatever it is. I don't know. And then maybe connecting again as a family after, nobody having to cook, especially on Mother's Day. You know, that kind of day. I think that's like a nice balance for me. Someone else might be like, no. I never get to see my baby, so that's my day to completely soak them up, and that's totally fine if that's your season or your way of life right now. So, you know, have a little think about that. And to bring it back to, if you don't know what any of this is, what it feels like to you, it might be that time of the walk where you take a little pause, grab a pen of paper or your notes app. There's actually even a journaling app. I don't know if anyone saw this. There's an actual journaling app. Well, I don't know why, but it was installed on my phone when I bought it. Unless iPhone knows how obsessed I am with journaling, but there's journaling apps too. Anyway, maybe a time to, I don't know, has this brought up anything in you? Like, what does it feel like in your body when you think about being the bad one or delivering the quote-unquote bad news about whatever? Like, you might say, I need 30 minutes a day to myself to go for a walk, and I am not being unreasonable at all. Like, that's pretty reasonable. That's pretty easy too. You just put your shoes on and get out. Right? If your partner cannot hold it down for 30 minutes, we've got a whole other podcast episode. That's a bigger problem than this one. Or if other people can give you that, that's a whole other podcast episode. If people are like, no, you cannot have 30 minutes a day to yourself. Even bloody work lets you do that. What's a lunch break these days? Half an hour, 45, I don't even know. Anyway, so take a moment. What does it feel like to consider this, like, in your body? Do you feel guilty? And then what does it feel like to put it down and just visualize that conversation? Maybe write it out. So first of all, I feel so bad asking for this because. I feel so bad bringing this up because. So you might go, whatever your reasons are, my partner's already exhausted, but remembering 30 minutes is not unreasonable. What I find really helps, the next question is really helpful. If my partner was asking me for that, would I be okay with it? If they said, hey, babe, can I have 30 minutes a day to myself to go for a run or whatever, to play pool? I don't bloody know, whatever. You would be totally fine, especially knowing the impact it has on their mental health and how they show up. So same goes for you. The door things both ways. And then maybe journal about, okay, or think about, write about, whatever, voice note, whatever your thing is, reflect on this. What does it feel like if the conversation went in a really, really supportive way? Like, they were like, I get it, you do need a break. How can we do this? How can I support you? How are we going to do this together? All right, let's get our heads together and work this out. You know, like, how does that feel to say it? And get out of your head about, why do I have to say it? Some things you're just going to have to say, okay? Some things you won't. But the more things you say, surprisingly, the less things you have to say, if that makes sense. The more times you start to speak about who you are and what you need. I really relish alone time. I really needed a reset. The more you're whoever we're talking about, the more they get to know you and know that about you, and the more thoughtful they become because you're letting them in about what your needs are. So then you do actually have to say it less and they know what to do. Anyway, I'm going to leave that one there. No, I'll leave it there. Thank you for walking it out with me. If you found this helpful, please share it or leave a rating so that more people can join us. I do believe that movement and reflection can change lives, one step and one thought at a time. All right, I'm leaving that one there. Peace.